Now, do you think that the way you live has anything to do with power and prayer? I guess that's a good question. And Jesus answers that for us. And the Bible teaches us that the way we live has everything to do with power in prayer. Turn with me to John chapter 15. There's a verse there that would be good for us to consider tonight. This is our New Year's text in Canarsie. Every year we look to the Lord at the beginning of the new year to give us a Bible verse or some passage that we should especially pray about and consider throughout the year. And this year, the Lord placed on our hearts John chapter 15, verse 7. Where is that? John 15, 7 talks about abiding. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise God. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now there's a promise with a condition. We like to claim, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. Lord, you said that. But that's not all the Lord said. He said, if you abide in me, and you will let my words abide in you, then you ask what you will, and it shall be done. And then he talks about bearing fruit, and that his Father is glorified as we bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In this way is my Father glorified, as we pray, and God is able to give answer to our prayer. But again, he calls us to live a life of union with himself. And that's what we want to learn. We want to learn how to abide in Christ. He talks about the vine and the branches and uses that illustration. He says that he is the vine, the true vine. In the Old Testament, Israel is pictured as a vine of God's planting. But that vine failed God, brought forth sour grapes. And so here Jesus says, I'm the true vine. Not Israel of the Old Testament, but I have come and I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman, the farmer. And he said, and you are my branches. Every branch that stays connected to me constantly will bear fruit. And those that are disconnected, they're going to wither up and perish. And so he uses that illustration of the vine and the branches to help us to understand what it means to abide in Christ. And it has to do with just recognizing that we are united to Christ and exercising ourselves that way. Praise God. God wants us to keep in touch with Jesus. God wants us to keep our hearts open to Jesus all the time. Not just in church and not just during times of devotion, but God wants us to recognize that Jesus is in us and that we are united to him. And he wants us to claim that. And we find that the Holy Spirit helps us to do that during the day. When you're at work, the Lord will remind you that you belong to him and he belongs to you. And we praise him. We say, Lord, I want to keep in touch with you while I'm working. I want to praise you. I want to be mindful of you. And so the Holy Spirit helps to call our attention back to Jesus when we forget him and when we get too taken up with the things that we're doing. And you'll find on the campgrounds, as you walk past people, you'll hear them worshiping the Lord. You hear them singing songs, and you just know that they're trying to keep in touch with Jesus. And that's somewhat what it means to abide. And then he says, and I want my words to abide in you. Praise God. Thank God for the Bible. These are the words of Christ to us. And he says, I want these words to abide in you, to remain in you. I want you to let them sink in. Brother Eddie was teaching on this passage not too long ago. I think it was in Germany where I heard him. And he said, to have the words of Christ abide in us means to let his words sink in. You know, sometimes people, they memorize scripture, and then they quote that scripture when they're in time of trouble or when they want to fight against the devil. But sometimes it doesn't go past the head. It's got to get past the head into the heart. And the light of it and the truth of it has to get into our hearts. And that's where we need to take time to meditate in the Word of God. When we read something in the Bible, we need to say, Lord, now open this up to me and show me what it means and what you're trying to say to me, and show me how I can live it out in my life, and you give me the grace to do that. We recognize that the Word of God is received into our lives so that we can obey it and enter into the full blessing of it. That's why after meeting, we are encouraged to take some time to pray about the things that we heard, so that we don't forget it. Often, if we just leave a meeting, the devil will snatch that out of us so quickly. I always laugh when people tell me they had a great meeting, and I'll say, really, what did the pastor preach on? And they never seem to remember. I don't know what he said. It was a good meeting, but I don't remember what he said. Well, then was it a good meeting? God wants to get his word into our hearts. And Jesus said, if you let my words abide in you, if you take my word into your life each day and you meditate on it and you purpose to obey it, you'll find that when you ask what you want, I will give it to you. And of course, if we have the word of God abiding in us, we're going to ask for the things that will glorify our Father. We'll ask for the things that are in his will. If the word of God is abiding in us, we're not going to ask for things that are contrary to God's will for us. But out of that richness of his word, our prayers will be formed. Our thoughts will be developed. And we will pray those things that glorify Jesus and the things that he wants to do in our lives. And so again, does the way we live have any bearing on our power in prayer? And the answer is yes, absolutely. And the better we learn to abide in Jesus, and the better we learn to have his words living in our heart, we'll find that God will make us more fruitful in our praying. And he will give us answers. He'll give us power in prayer. And God will be glorified, and that's the purpose for which we pray. We pray so that God will be glorified, so that his kingdom will come and his will be done. We don't just pray so that we can get what we want, but we pray that he can get what he wants. And there's a difference there, isn't it? Sometimes people complain to me. They say, how come God didn't answer my prayer? I prayed about this and God didn't answer. And sometimes I tell them, well, are you as concerned about giving God what he wants as you are about him giving you what you want? You know, there are things that God wants from our lives that we don't pay any attention to. We don't surrender to him. But when we want something from God, well, then we storm heaven like a house of fire. And if God doesn't come through, oh, we can get pretty upset about that. But I think we got it all wrong. Prayer isn't about you and it isn't about me. It's about glorifying Jesus. It's about giving God what he wants. It's about making a channel so that God can accomplish what he desires to accomplish in our lives and in the lives of others. Brother Hans Waldfogel one time, down in Fredericksburg, Virginia, he went for a bike ride. And I understand that as he was riding his bike, something got caught in the front wheel and he flipped over, and him and the bike ended up in a ditch. The bike fell on top of him and he was really beat up. And he was calling on God when he got back to his room. Oh God, deliver me from this pain and this suffering. And And the Lord spoke to him and said, oh, interesting, Hans. I don't know the exact words. But he said, you are praying. You can pray so earnestly when you're in pain that I would, you know, grant you healing and deliver you. He said, but there were some things that I talked to you about that I wanted in your life, and you didn't pray so earnestly about those things. You weren't so concerned about the things that I wanted. But, oh, when it came to something you wanted, you could really pray and call on God. And I guess we're all like that. And so the Lord wants to help us to understand better, because he wants to answer our prayers. And he wants to give us power in prayer. He wants prayer to bring glory to his Father and to his kingdom. And God is glorified when he meets your needs. God's glorified when he heals our bodies. Oh, God is glorified in so many ways. And so that's my little devotion tonight. I just wanted to call our attention to that call to abide. And I've been noticing this year in our prayer meetings, the Lord has been doing something for us. We've had, often we've had very precious times of being in the presence of God together. It seems to be more so this year than I remember it in the past. And as we've been praying over the scripture and asking the Lord to teach us to abide, I find myself during the day stopping and reminding myself that I need to be abiding in Jesus. And then I'll ask the Lord to help me, and then I'll begin to praise him and just keep my heart open to him. And then I'm making more of an effort to get into the Word of God and meditate on these truths and just dwell on them and let them fill my thoughts and fill my heart. And I'm finding that as we as a church, as individuals and as a church are reaching out to the Lord in that way, that the Lord is certainly doing his part. And we find that God is coming to us and that he's giving us prayer in the Holy Ghost. And some of my favorite meetings this year have been the prayer meetings. And they're never packed. There's always just a handful of people there. But those meetings are packed with the power and the presence of God. Even more so, it seems, than some of the bigger meetings that we attend. And so tonight, Jesus wants to give us power in prayer, as we've sung. Hallelujah. There have been those here that are here at camp, and we're here because we want to learn to live in the presence of God and to live close to Jesus. And the Lord sees that. He sees your effort. He sees your heart. And he doesn't wait for it to be perfect before he begins to answer prayer. But he wants us to have a heart that's perfect. It's in the right place, and we're moving in the right direction. Praise God. And so you can take that verse to heart as well. You don't have to be a member of the Canarsie Church. And I'm sure you've read it before and prayed over it before. And that these thoughts that I'm presenting to you are probably not new. But there may be, I'm sure they're good reminders. It's a good reminder to me. I hope to you as well. And so we're going to give some time to the Lord in prayer tonight. And I would encourage you to pray out as a thought comes to you. Bring it to the Lord and pray out. And lift your voice so that we can hear you, so that we can agree together with you in the name of Jesus, that God will hear and answer that prayer. We want to pray for things that are of general interest to us, but of course there are some needs that you may have that are have to do with a family member or something like that, and don't be afraid to pray that too, because if it concerns you, it concerns the Lord and it concerns us. Sister Mary tells us the Lord's blessing in the meetings. She thanks us for our prayers. There are little things that are coming up. Sister Jean, the nurse, is being kept busy with little problems here and there, splinters and little problems with asthma and so on. Let's continue to pray that God will bless them. God will pour out a spirit upon them. If there is some that God has not yet broken through to, that God will help them to open their hearts and Jesus will come to them. We want every one of them to meet the Lord in a life-changing way and to return home having knowing that they've met Jesus and that he's with them
as never before. And we want to pray for those little cottagers too, those cute little kids. I saw them coming down to the beach, so I greeted them today. And I greeted them all. They all told me what their names were. They all made faces at me. It was really cute. And that's a lively group of boys they had. And then they've got a lot of girls too. And we enjoyed their presentation Sunday. And now they've just got a few more days. You know, this week goes very quick. And so we want to pray that God will meet them every night. Sister Antia said, pray for conviction. And she we heard that in the staff meeting the other night, and then I spoke to Antia myself, and she said, pray for conviction. She said it with that accent of hers. And she wants the Holy Spirit to make these boys and girls to be sorry for their sin, to realize that they need to repent. And God can do that for children, make them to see that they're sorry. Brother Gordon Gardner, he told us that when he was a boy, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he went to the altar, and he was crying over, because he was a sinner, and he had sinned against the Lord. Now, he was just a little boy, and he was a good boy in most people's minds. But the Holy Spirit made him to feel the guilt of his sin, and he was crying. And some people came over to him and tried to pat him on the back and say, oh, don't cry, Gordon. You know, the Lord loves you. And Elder Brooks, one of the ministers, walked past and said, leave the boy alone. Let him cry. It'll do him good. Well, it sounded a bit harsh, but he was right. You know, we need to really feel the guilt of our sin and then repent and really get to God. And as we do that, God is able to do a real solid work in our lives. And the problem with a lot of people, their repentance isn't very deep. They're not really sorry for their sin. They read the four spiritual laws, and then they think they're saved. And it just doesn't go very deep. And so let's pray that God will send conviction to the children. And that would be good if his conviction came over the whole camp, wouldn't it? Oh, that would be wonderful here in this meeting if God could really get to those things in our lives that he wants to free us from. Praise God. Okay, I think I've done enough talking. Well, maybe 5 minutes ago I did enough talking. So let's go to our knees and pray. Of course, if there are those that are not comfortable doing so, then you can pray sitting up. But we like to get down on our knees. It's an expression of our humbling ourselves before God. We see it in the Bible. And let's just worship the Lord, and let's lead out in prayer. And let there be prayers of thanksgiving, acknowledging the goodness of God. And then let there be prayers of calling upon God. Hallelujah. For the need of our soul and other needs in our lives as the Spirit leads us. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.